present the I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue 1999 Christmas Special. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome with a seasonal greeting to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us today amid the North London splendour of Golders Green at the very heart of London's Jewish community. So how fitting we should be here for our special Christmas show. Golders Green is of course famous for two great buildings, the Hippodrome and the Crematorium. I'll let the listeners at home decide for themselves which we're coming from. As you'd expect in the I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue Christmas special, we have four performers who have top-class comedy coming out of their ears. It's just a pity it doesn't often come out of their mouths. They are on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Tim Brooke Taylor and Stephen Fry. And taking up her position and eager to score on the desk next to me, please welcome our own delightful Christmas cracker, the lovely Samantha. Samantha was telling us before the show about her new young man who, after a series of minor roles, has landed the lead in pantomime this year. She says there's nothing to beat the enjoyment of having the large part of Aladdin. Okay, we might as well get on with it. Our first round is entitled Nativity Radio Times. Now, it isn't widely known that the original Listings magazine has been around since the 2nd century BC and was first published in Greece by the philosopher who lent his name for the title, Theradiotimis. Scholars of the history of 20th century broadcasting won't need me to tell them that it wasn't until the 20th century that Marconi devised wireless to promote his famous pasta dish. And Logie Baird constructed a television set with the help of his little friend Boo Boo. James, now I'd ask you please to suggest TV, radio and film titles likely to have been featured in a Christmas souvenir double issue of the Radio Times dating back to the time of the Nativity. Graham, would you like to start, please?
Christ Watch UK. The Carpenter's Christmas Special.
Opportunity Ox.
The Jimmy Young Show.
Some mothers do have them.
Mangerfield.
Wise Men Behaving Gladly.
The Magi Roundabout.
Film Nothing.
That's it.
Okay, it's time now for a musical round and a special version of one song to the tune of another. This is a firm favourite with listeners, some of whom send the team's possible combinations to try. However, with the certifiable lunatic who suggested they sing the Lord's Prayer to the tune of Auld Lang Syne. Please stop pestering us in such poor taste. I have instead made a small selection of seasonal tunes recorded by the great man himself to create a round called We Wish You a Merry Clifmas. Providing musical accompaniment to the keyboards, we have Colin Sell. Listeners will be interested to learn that Christmas was made extra special for Colin as he had the honour just this week of being decorated by the Royal College of Music. Pity they couldn't afford a real tree. Okay, Barry and Graham, I'd like you to start by singing the words of Bachelor Boy to the tune of Auld Lang Syne.
Young, my father said, son, I have something to say, and what he told me I'll never forget until my time. young, you are a bachelor boy, and that's the way to say, son, you'll be a bachelor boy until your dying day.
Okay, Tim and Stephen, would you please sing the words of Auld Lang Syne to the tune of Bachelor Boy?
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be and days of Auld Lang Syne? For Auld Lang Syne, my dear, for Auld Lang Syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for the sake of Auld Lang Syne.
Stephen Fry,
overpowering desire to go to Belgium, I come to you.
It's now time for a game of charades, the popular pastime frequently played at Christmas to while away the time once the festive season has begun in earnest. And my, how it lightens up those long August evenings. This version of the game is borrowed from the great TV favourite Give Us a Clue, where contestants were given a limited time in which to describe a famous book, film or song title using only mime. The show was made all the better by its resident expert Lionel Blair, who was particularly good at the films of Richard Gere. Who can forget the gleam of satisfaction in his eye when he was given yanks by Michael Aspel for 2 minutes? The whole point of the game was the endless amusement created by the players not being allowed to speak. Our version differs slightly in one respect, as the teams do speak. The other difference will become all too obvious. Okay, Tim and Stephen, you're to start with the festive sound charade, while Barry and Graham will be guessing. Your title will shortly be relayed to our studio audience via the laser display. For our listener at home, here's a mystery voice.
Mother Goose. Mother Goose.
Off you go, Tim and Stephen.
Two words. Originally it was a...
All kinds of things.
Mixed media, but of a Christmas type. And it goes as thus.
Mother.
Yes, Lilibet.
Mother, your shoelaces are undone.
Is mother in the title?
only in a literal sense, yeah.
Mother hen.
Ooh, mother goose.
Mother goose. Oh. I don't know.
Oh.
That's awesome. It says here, oh, what? Fun? Oh, wait a minute. He's got the punctuation on. Right, your turn, Barry and Graham. Your title is now being exhibited on the laser display board, while here is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Changing rooms. Changing rooms.
And it is
a TV show.
Two words. Casper.
Oh, Melchior. You'll have had your mare.
Well, Jings, where's Balthazar?
Oh, he's over there, man.
So he is. I didn't see him because he's not very big, is he? Barely 5 feet tall.
Oh, well, you're a fine one to talk at 4'3".
And what about you at 3'2"?
Fair enough.
Look here. What? Looky here. Have you arranged the accommodation at Bethlehem for us all?
Oh, what a palaver. My secretary faxed the hotel and they said they only had one room left, and that was sharing in a stable, if you please. Apparently the last room at the inn had been taken by a family of carpenters.
Never.
Yes. Oh, I had to point out that carpenters are not valued customers, whereas three wee kings of Orient are.
Hey. You little wordsmith. So, we get the room.
And the carpenters get the stables.
Well, we'd better mount these camels.
Oh, do we have time?
Oh, come on.
Is this specifically a Christmas show?
No.
No.
Is it changing rooms?
Yes.
Okay. Of all the components that go into making this time of year special, there are some essentials that shouldn't ever change. For example, an imitation tree can never match the real thing. A fragrant fir not only brightens the room for the festive period, it can be planted out in the garden to provide months of enjoyment as you watch it turn brown while you're digging... while you're digging pine needles out of the cat. But with the relentless march of commercialism, Christmas shopping isn't the same anymore. Gone are the days when you could pick up a few boxes of walnuts, some dates, a couple of yo-yos, and a selection of sugared fruits, and still come away with money in your pocket. Now, shoplifting isn't what it used to be. So, teams, let's play a round called Talking Turkey, in which I'll be asking general knowledge questions on the sayings and folk wisdom of that country. I'll provide the first part, and I'd like you to finish it off. Graham, here's one for you. Esek hosaftan ne anla. Or, an ass does not appreciate.
In fact, it depreciates 10% when you drive it off the forecourt.
Well, I always have to give the boring real answer. This one's not very boring. Fruit compote. Barry, a neighbour's hen looks as big as a goose and his wife is...
worth a gander.
Well, pretty close. It's as young as a girl. Stephen, better a calf of one's own than a...
better a calf of one's own than a thigh of Ann Widdicombe's.
Jointly owned cow.
Oh. I was more or less right then.
Yeah. Jim, better to die on a full stomach than to
throw up over the Pope.
The boring answer is live on an empty one. Graham, every donkey is hung by.
By golly.
The answer is his own leg. Barry, if a dog's prayers were answered...
lampposts will be vibrators.
Bones would rain from the sky. Stephen, it is not disgraceful to ask. It's disgraceful.
It is not disgraceful to ask. It is disgraceful. To smear warm Bovril over the buttocks of a casual acquaintance without asking their permission first.
Common courtesy is not dead, I like to hear.
The answer is not to ask. Tim, it's easy to say come, difficult to say...
not just yet.
It's now time to play the game called Mornington Crescent. But first, I noticed from our Christmas card postbag that we've received an unusual number this year. And it comes from a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales. Her card contains this seasonal greeting. Dear Mr. Mumbledon, yours sincerely, Mrs. Trellis, President, North Wales Mumbling Society. And on with the game, which today will be played to Bethlehem rules. This means that all shepherd, king, and ass-related connections count double. If you have an American sitting next to you, I think we'll give you a few seconds to explain. Tim, will you start, please?
Shepherd's Market.
Shepherd's Bush.
King's Cross.
Lambeth.
Oh, nice.
Bethnal Green.
The Angel.
Cock Foster's.
No.
Can't go back on Shepherd.
No.
On the diagonal we can. You could.
To Euston.
Yeah. Brent Cross.
Warren Street.
Don't rush it. They don't stop.
I was going to get him on a screw. You're wrong.
Hold on. Think of the French.
You can do that. Of course we can. Yeah. The last 3 months ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
North Greenwich. North Greenwich.
Well done.
North.
Oh. North. Yeah.
Barking.
That's
worried the sheep.
Elephant and Castle.
Tooting.
Manor House.
No, you haven't guessed. It is. Mornington Crescent.
Oh. Yes!
Right. Okay. Now, no run-up to Christmas would be complete without a visit to Santa's Grotto, which is the subject of our next game. I understand that the standard of grotto customer satisfaction can vary markedly. A 4-year-old who asked for a cowboy outfit was given the Virgin Rail franchise. but had to refuse it as he was overqualified to run a public utility. In this game, one team will be a parent and child visiting the grotto. The opposing team will be Santa and his little helper elf. And it's their job to guess what the child wants for Christmas. However, they may only ask questions likely to get a yes or no. The hoped-for present will be relayed to the audience via the display board. While for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Tim's little boy, Stephen, wants a Christmas fairy. That's a Christmas fairy.
Okay. Barry and Graham, you're to start in the roles of Santa and Elf. Tim and Stephen will be the parent and child, so if you care to start setting the scene, off you go now, Barry and Graham.
Ho, ho, ho. This is Swarfager, my companion and assistant.
Hello.
I got him on the National Elf Service. Now, young'uns, what's your name?
Stephen.
And what do you want? Could you give us any sort of indication? What sort of thing?
Is it very big?
No.
Is it very small?
Speak up, Stephen. It can be be any size, really.
Can be any size, can it?
Mm.
You want a slap?
Well, can you eat it?
Well, you might quite like that.
No.
Oh. Audience, you can clap if you like. If they're getting warm. Or if you're getting cold.
Does one use it above or below the waist?
Think above. Above is a good thing to think. Above.
Precocious little sod, isn't he?
Keep thinking above and on
the top. Is it a bauble? Of some description.
It's feminine.
A fairy on the Christmas tree.
A fairy! Oh.
I was just about to ring Hull and cancel my gig for next Thursday. Right, Barry and Graham's turn to be parent and child now. The title of their wished-for gift will be relayed to the audience via their laser display. Well, here's the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Graham's little boy Barry wants the fourth bridge. That's the fourth bridge.
Tim and Stephen, you're Santa and Elf, and off you go.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ha, ha, ha.
This is my little boy.
And he'd like something for Christmas, I expect, wouldn't he? He would, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, bless his heart. Oh.
Is it a toy? Well,
it's a matter of scale,
really.
Yeah. Is it something you could fit into the average bedroom?
I will not get on your lap.
Well, stop dancing then. Is it the Seven Bridge?
Can I nut him, Dad?
It's obviously something very big.
No, it's far from the Seven Bridge.
Ah, probably.
Is it a...
Is it the Fourth Bridge?
Okay, well, moving on, it seems that TV general knowledge quizzes are all the rage these days, with shows such as Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And now there's one called Who Wants to Be a London Mayor? Brought to you by the makers of Who Can Run a Piss Up in a Brewery? Which is a game that has the undivided indifference of everyone who lives outside the city and in it. One contestant famously came very close to the jackpot but failed at the final hurdle. What a shame he chose to phone a friend. Never the show to miss a trend. We're going to have our own Christmas quiz now, with the winner carrying off the star prize. Today's prize is guaranteed to keep the keen cook amused in the run-up to Christmas. It's this lovely Advent calendar. Stephen, why did the appearance of the first Christmas card invented by the leading Victorian cultural figure Sir Henry Cole receive such a hostile reception?
Presumably it was the first Christmas card because everyone who got one thought, oh, Christ, I haven't sent him one. So going to a complete spin.
The actual answer is it depicted a family eating Christmas dinner in which the children were drinking wine.
Oh, my God. Everyone knows it should be vodka.
Okay, Tim, in Victorian England, what unusual method did the turkey farmers of Norfolk use to get their birds to travel to market in London?
They pretended they were buying them a return ticket.
That's sweet.
On the back.
The real answer is the farmers gave each of their turkeys little leather boots.
What?
That's not a reach, it's a nonsense. Okay, Barry, your question is, during a medieval English Christmas pantomime, what do you imagine was the role of the bold slasher?
Writing Merry Christmas in the snow.
The answer is, he was a Turkish knight whose job it was to slay St. George before Father Christmas manages to persuade a passing doctor to what a load of codswallop. Graham, what does Santa like to ride on in Finland?
I think she's here.
You be fine.
The answer is a goat named Akko. Hot cockles was a pastime popular at Christmas until the Victorian era. What did it involve?
Urinating into the fireplace.
Well, it was, in fact, an entertaining game.
So you're right to that extent.
Which listeners might like to try at home. In it, one player is blindfolded while his teammates take turns at hitting him. His job is to guess the name of the person delivering the blow.
I think you're better off peeing into a fireplace. Yeah.
Yeah.
But not an electric one.
Right, I notice it's very nearly time to end the show, but not before we enjoy a special Christmas edition of Swanee Kazoo. Swanee and Kazoo, two words that go together like peaches and cream, just as Bex and Posh go together like thick and thin. Each team will provide a rendition of a suitably seasonal tune, duetting on the Swanee Whistle and Kazoo, with accompaniment from Colin Sell on the merry organ. Actually, 1999 was an exciting year for Colin. At the grand reopening of Covent Garden Opera House, he was asked to stand in for a tenor. And that's about three more quid than he usually gets. To assist Colin in this one, will you please welcome Adrian McIntosh on drums and Paul Bridge on bass. Okay, Barry and Graham, your song is Deck the Halls with Boughs of Holly, and it's to feature Barry Cryer on kazoo and Graham Garden on Swanee Whistle. Thank you. Oscar, now Tim and Stephen. Your song is Ding Dong Merrily on High, and it's to feature Tim Brooke-Taylor on kazoo and Stephen Fry on Swanee Whistle. So, ladies and gentlemen, as the two turtle doves of time drown in the fish tank of eternity, and the ten lords are leaping, blast the partridge of plenty from the pear tree of hope. I notice it's near the end of the show, so we'll be back in New Year for more of the same. In the meantime, from Samantha, myself, the teams, and the fine folk of Golders Green, it's goodbye.
Triad, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Stephen Fry were being given Christmassy things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson and the producer was John Naismith.
Stephen Fry, ladies and gentlemen.